Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
This is Gresh and Keefe.
And I can tell you unequivocally, we are going to play Major League Baseball this year.
Major League Baseball announces a lockout as players and owners fail to reach a new collective bargaining agreement.
Unfortunately, I can't tell you that I'm 100% certain that's going to happen.
Andy Gresh.
Welcome James Paxton to Boston. Want to welcome Rich Hill and Jackie Bradley Jr. back to Boston.
Jackie back to the wall. He leaps and he made the catch.
Rich Keefe.
I seen a report the other day that said I was a selfish player.
Yes! Not yes! Hell yes!
Gresh and Keefe.
Go, motherfucking
on WEEI.
Into the final hour, our conversation with Michael Irvin was moved up to last hour, so we got a lot of you at 617-779-7937, and the Boston Celtics won a basketball game last night. However, it was kind of ugly, which led to the question from my guy Rich Keefe, who threw it in our text chat. Are the Celtics fun to watch?
No. They're not. I don't and again, I might be a little swayed because last night's game was particularly ugly. Like, last night's game was a tough watch. It was a defensive battle, but also it was just poor shooting, and I think that's what it comes down to. So, it doesn't mean things can't change. You know, they've played 22 games or whatever it is. So, you know, they have 75% of the season left to go. But if you look at it right now, they are 19th in the league in points per game, and they are 25th in both field goal percentage and three-point percentage. Just means they're missing a lot of shots. They're not scoring at a really high number. And I think overall they're going to have to win on defense because they don't have a bunch of great shooters. And just for, you know, in a league where there are so many fun teams to watch or fun individual players at the very least to watch, I don't know. I don't think the Celtics, they really aren't.
And here's the thing. If they're not fun to watch but they win, I think we could live with it. Because we could look and say, okay, you know what? They're ugly, but they're the number three seed in the East, or they play a style that, you know, Brooklyn will have difficulty with in the playoffs or something like that. And not only are the Celtics, like, not fun to watch, they're just so inconsistent week in and week out. And you know what, Keith? Since we have the whole final hour open in a way that we normally don't on a Thursday, we've got, are the Celtics fun to watch? We have all the Red Sox moves. We have Major League Baseball being idiots. We have a great Monday night game. Let's bring it to the people as well at 617-779-7937. Your chance to be able to get in on all of this stuff. And Celtics get an ugly win last night, but it's just, you know, I don't need beautiful basketball. I don't.
You didn't get it last night.
No, I didn't. And even just watching, you know, the 10 minutes of the fourth quarter that I did this morning when I got up, it was like, and by the way, the 76ers are not that good either, and maybe that was a part of it, because you're right, like, the Celtics own Joel Embiid, but that's really the only guy that is left on the 76ers that at least you look at and say, okay, I'd love to have that guy. He's a pretty damn good player.
For sure.
But I Jason Tatum after the game with some of the comments that he had, I hate to compare Major League Baseball to the Celtics, but I'm getting worried, Keith, that, like, Major League Baseball is giving us reasons to tune them out or dislike them, and that the Celtics are going down a path where we're going to be sitting here 2 months from now going, I just don't like this team. I love the Red Sox.
I mean, you are right about the winning solves everything, because if they were winning games like the, you know, the mid-90s Knicks and Heat and Pacers, then you would learn to enjoy it. You would embrace the 75-72 win because it was a win. But like them and Philly are both right around 500, and it just seems like they're kind of disjointed on offense. And even a guy like Jason Tatum, who at times can be as fun a player to watch, it seems like a lot of times he's just missing a ton of shots. He hasn't had those crazy, with the exception of maybe one or two games, those crazy scoring games where you're like, oh my God, this guy is must-watch TV, like a Luka Doncic is must-watch, or like a Damian Lillard is must-watch. Hell, but right now, believe it or not, Charlotte Hornets are like a must-watch team. They're scoring more than anybody. LaMelo Ball, who I thought was going to be a bust, and I was wrong about that, he's lighting it up. They're scoring. Like, they're a fun team to watch. The Golden State Warriors are back to being that team that you have to watch with Steph Curry. So, yeah, wins can do a lot, because there are also examples of teams that might have a record like the Celtics, but it would at least be fun to watch. And I think right now, on a nightly basis, they kind of haven't been. Now, Jaylen Brown's missed a bunch of time, so maybe that's part of it, because he's clearly your second star. This should be a team with two All-Stars, and he's missed, I think, 9 games. So maybe that's a little bit of it. But we're so used to the last several years, the NBA, where teams just knock down threes and just knock down shots, and it's fast-moving and it's high-scoring. And it seems like the Celtics might be kind of – not that you're ever going to see games consistently in the 90s again – but they might be going back the other way. When everybody else is so focused on everybody shoot threes, they might be like, all right, we're going to lock you down and, you know, value these possessions a little bit more.
You can get in on the Celtics, on the Red Sox moves, Major League Baseball, and the Patriots and the Bills right now at 617-779-7937. You hit on something that Jaylen Brown's been out. There's another sort of factor to kind of throw into this discussion. I'm curious to see where you're at. Are we still in the honeymoon period with Ime Udoka? Or now 22, 23 games in, is it, okay, these guys know what to expect from this head coach, and now it's about the players actually playing the way Ime wants them to?
Yeah, it's tough because it is still a small sample, and we've seen so many issues pop up time and again with the core of Tatum, Brown, and Smart. And so it's been, well, it's Gordon Hayward doesn't fit, it's Kemba Walker doesn't fit, Kyrie Irving's a problem, Brad Stevens isn't breaking through. So all those guys, I think it'd be a little foolish to sort of jump right in and be like, ah, Udoka doesn't, like, he's not helping. It's like, well, I'm still in that wait and see phase with him. It was interesting to see how he responded to the first time having a player criticize other players publicly. And that could have gone more south than it did. They've actually won a bunch of games or had a decent record since that moment. And I would have to give Udoka some credit for that. So sort of keeping everybody at least playing together, even though they were chirping at each other publicly.
They were. And we did hear from Jason Tatum a little bit earlier and after the game with the, report said I'm a selfish player.
I seen a report the other day that said I'm a selfish player.
Yeah. How about this? Get pissed that someone said you don't want to win, please. Yeah. That would make me happy. 617-779-7937. We're also going to have a little fun with family members of professional athletes that decide to take to either social media or to, you know, just create 11-minute videos saying that the quarterback their kid plays with sucks. But let's get to these phones. Mike in Randolph, talking Celtics with Gresham Keefe. Hello, Mike.
Guys, how you doing today?
Good. How are you?
Lovely.
Good. So it's funny. The other night, my son and I were watching the Hornets and Bulls game, and we were just talking about how the Bulls have completely transformed their team, and the way the ball pops, it just moves. And the Hornets, the same thing. And then we're watching last night, and he's like, this is the most boring brand of basketball you could ever watch. He's like, Tatum will get a rebound, dribble up the entire length of the floor, and then drive to the basket, take a bad shot, throw his hands up in the air like he got fouled, and not get back on defense. This team is horrendous to watch. And you see other teams, like, you know, the Warriors really changed things around with the way they would move the ball and shoot the three. Like, they changed everything. And you saw a lot of other teams adapt to that. And you're starting to see that in the East, whether it's Atlanta, whether it is Charlotte, whether it's Chicago. The Celtics are going backwards. It's horrendous to watch. And it all starts, you know, you guys just brought up, you know, oh, maybe it was Gordon Hayward, or maybe it was Scary Terry, or maybe it was Brad Stevens. You know, how many times do we have to blame someone else till we blame the common denominators, which is Tatum and Brown? And it's hard to blame Brown because he's always hurt. He can't stay healthy. The main guy is Tatum, and he wants to complain about being selfish. Yeah, win. Do the extra things. I'd rather see him score 8 points and have 10 assists like he did against Toronto, getting other people involved, than throwing his arms up, expecting it calls because he thinks he's something he's not. He thinks he's a superstar, and he's not a superstar. I'm watching Zach LaVine. I'm watching Zach LaVine drive and kick. I'm watching Zach LaVine getting other people involved. And then when he needs to score, he scores. That is a superstar, not Jason Tatum.
Woo! Mike's coming in hot. And honestly, it is time to... It's not everybody else, right? It kind of has to be Tatum.
We're
to some
at
degree.
That point now.
It is, and he's right about that. And I would throw Smart in there too. Like, Smart has also been a constant of these last 5 years. Every year he's been in the league, he's played with Brown and he's played with Smart. So I do think it's those three. But again, if this team were to go on some sort of crazy run where they win, isn't Tatum going to get almost all the credit? Not all of it, but he's going to get a lot of the credit as being the best player.
Yep.
Therefore, you also that's sort of the rub in the NBA. You also get the blame. So when things start to fall apart, you're like, all right, why can't this guy win? Why can't this team win? It's why can't this guy win or what, you know, whatever. So Tatum is going to have to make players better. He had that nice little lob pass to Rob Williams last night, but that was kind of about it. Like, he needs to make other guys better and not just, you know, have his own stats so he's an easy shoo-in all-star and he's in the, you know, all-NBA voting contention. It's like, all right, is he making anybody else on the floor better?
Well, haven't some of the expectations also come from the fact that there's just an automatic narrative that, well, Jason Tatum someday will be a top five player?
Yeah.
You know,
there's
like
definitely a lot of that conversation.
Yeah, and I think that has added to why a guy like Mike in Randolph would be like, yo, that's why he's directing it at Tatum. And, like, my criticism of Jason Tatum has definitely been harsh at times, but it's holding him to a standard of which he has talked about. He went down the road of the Mamba mentality. And if, as I learned when Kobe Bryant passed away, that this guy was as big a cultural icon, or at least an NBA icon worldwide, that people worshipped, then I can understand why Jason Tatum would come from the, hey, Kobe was my God kind of, you know,
yeah,
deal.
Yeah.
And I could get wanting to be like him, but you got to bust your ass to be able to do it as well. And I think that's, you know, honestly, Keith, I think with the team, it's kind of a pot just sort of on the stove, and maybe it's just beginning to simmer a little bit. Whereas I'm getting the sense that with Celtic fans here in this city and in this region, that the pot is about to boil over in terms of frustration with Jason Tatum,
right?
Because we've been waiting for Kobe Bryant 2.0 to walk through the door.
Well, it's also like how many years? So even though the guy's young in real world age, like in the NBA, it's like, all right, well, you've been there a while. Like, you've had
younger
a lot of cracks
John.
At it.
He's
younger than
that's scary.
That is true. But like, I was looking at just some of the numbers, and I know people like to get into more of the advanced stats and more of the nerd numbers, but I was just even looking at simple field goal percentage, not of expected or this, that, you know, just field goal percentage. And out of all the top scorers in the NBA, nobody is shooting worse than Jason Tatum. When I looked it up yesterday, out of the top 65 scorers, so that's all the guys that are shooting the most, basically, the top 65 scorers, he was last. And then we also did it, remember, a week ago, we were looking at, of the top 50 scorers, where does he rank in assists? And it wasn't last because there's a couple of big men on there, but it was right at the bottom. So it was like, he's missing a ton of shots, and he's also not getting other guys scoring. He's not setting up other guys. That's a tough combination, and it makes you, so he's still 10th in the league in points per game at 24.4 points. But isn't that not nearly as efficient if you're missing so often and you're just kind of having these, you know, one player touching the ball possessions, which seems like you get a lot with him as well.
Let's go to Dave in the car, who wants to talk about the Celtics with Gresham Keefe. Go ahead, Dave.
Hey, how are you guys?
Hey, good.
So I'm doing all right. So my thing is, the Celtics are boring to watch. And I'm a huge Celtics fan. And the problem is, You know, even one of my sons, he played basketball in high school. He's playing at a pretty high level in college.
Nice.
And he's having a hard time watching the season. Jason Tatum is actually the issue because, like you guys are just talking about, this guy, he's not making the players around him better. He's sort of a selfish player. He's worried more about himself than being a team. And I think what the Celtics need right now, they need a team setting. They need to play like the Patriots, who don't have superstars, and they're playing great. And that's what the Celtics need to do to try to get people really back on board.
All right, okay, but here's the problem with that, David, is if you don't have superstars, you're not going to win in the NBA. So there's two different conversations happening right now, it seems like. Will they be more likable if they were Isaiah Thomas, Jay Crowder, Al Horford? Yeah, they probably would be more likable, but that team sure as hell wasn't going to win the title. You at least have a chance, or you at least put yourself in a position to have the chance with the superstars. What team in the NBA, you can't compare it to the NFL, what team in the NBA got rid of their superstars and then won the whole thing? It's never happened.
The only team that I could think of that would fit a little bit of what Dave was talking about would have been the Miami Heat, where you had Jimmy Butler, who's kind of a star, and then you had a bunch of guys where it's viewed like they're grinders. And it's
but also
funny that,
didn't win the whole thing.
No, they didn't.
Like, so they okay, I think there's a place to get to. Plus, that was a bubble scenario.
Mm-hmm.
And I would argue Jimmy Butler is clearly a top 20 player, maybe 15. Like, so he's kind of on that line where, you know, it's not like you're just going with, hey, Isaiah Thomas is fun to watch and Avery Bradley's fun to watch and these guys are good. Like, it is a little different.
Well, I just wrote down as Dave was kind of talking, does the NBA superstar player mentality work here? Because let's face it, you know, we're a blood and guts region. We're hard on all the stars. We demand a lot from stars because we give a lot to stars, especially when you go and win. And that's why I bring up Miami as the example. I feel like that for some Celtic fans, they would rather have a team built like Miami, where it's maybe one guy who might be a top 20, top 15 player, whatever it is in Jimmy Butler. But, dude, it's a bunch of grinders. I love this group. They bring their lunch pail every day. That's what I wonder, too, is this region ready to embrace the mentality of the borderline crybaby NBA superstar?
See, I think their team, I think I would give them more credit than you would, because I think Bam Adebayo is probably an all-NBA top 15, top 20 player. Butler is as well. So they're a little bit deeper than that. They're not just the lunch pail gang or like this, you know, here we are, we're just going to try hard team. Like,
so
they
you think
do
Miami has two top 20 players?
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah, I think so. Of course, I might have 30 players in my top 20, but yes.
I'm kind of figuring that out. I do.
There's a lot of guys.
Like Josh Allen and a lot of other guys are top five quarterbacks in the NFL well. So I'm trying to figure the sliding scale. We need a big board is what we need.
I do. I need to put it down on paper so you can hold me to it and be like, all right, you can't have all these guys in there. But, I mean, last year, for example, Jimmy Butler was, let's see, he was all-NBA third team, and Bam Adebayo just missed out. So you could probably argue he's definitely top 20 player. So, yeah, I think those guys.
But would you take Bam Adebayo over Jason Tatum?
No.
And that,
but over Jalen Brown? Yeah, I might.
That might be a bit of a different discussion. But that's the – and I think that's hard
– So going back to your point, too, about – so I think not all NBA superstars are – they're not all – they don't all act the same, right?
Correct.
So, because I think Kevin Garnett was a superstar, Paul Pierce was a superstar, so was Ray Allen. I think that's also the problem with us here is the last time you had three real studs, you won the whole thing. So why can't you just do it again? But the question is, maybe those guys aren't real studs, or, you know, Gordon Hayward gets hurt, Kyrie goes rogue, and the other two guys were too young at that time. And then they get good, and then Kemba Walker's no longer a stud because he's hurt. And so now you're like, all right, you're still trying to replace what that was. And now Kevin Garnett was a top five player when you got him, and Pierce and Allen are both probably top 15, 20, so that's sort of a little bit different, but I think that's one of the issues when watching this team now.
And even if KG quickly didn't have that, if he wasn't the true quote-unquote like top five on the court, he had top three impact in the organization. Like, when he spoke, people shut up.
Well, he he, along with, you know, Coach Thibodeau or whatever, but really Garnett made the Celtics the best defensive team in the NBA, and they had
yes.
Ray Allen and Paul Pierce, who were never confused for good defensive players up until that season.
I'm with you on that. Let's go to Seth, who is in Florida, talking Jason Tatum regression. Keith, go ahead, Seth.
Hey, guys. You know, I am so frustrated watching Jason Tatum this year. I mean, you know, you were talking about the game against, I think it was Charlotte, where he wasn't scoring, but he managed to have 8 assists. And, you know, if you watch that game against the Lakers a week or two ago, you know, he had a really good game, and he was dealing, right? I mean, he was dealing, he was defending. It was a national broadcast.
Mm-hmm.
He had the spotlight. He was playing against LeBron, who obviously wasn't himself. It was his first game back. But we know he can do this, right? It's, you know, there's been talk about, well, maybe that's just not his game. Well, it's only not his game if he doesn't put out the effort. We know he can pass. We know he has basketball IQ. We know if he wants to, he can be a decent defender. But he doesn't seem to want to make the effort, and it is so frustrating. And, geez, you know, David Pastrnak has been benched for not back-checking. I mean, I don't understand how this NBA mentality is allowed to continue, but I guess it's all about the money. But, yeah, I think Jason Tatum needs to have a coming-to-Jesus moment where he decides who he wants to be. And if it means, you know, he has to sit on the bench for 2 or 3 more minutes a game to get a little more rest, then so be it. But if you want to be a superstar,
yeah,
you gotta do those things.
Yeah, it's true. And, like, Gresh's point, too, about being consistent, because it's like, you're right, that is what's so frustrating, because he's capable of it. And that's why I think Marcus Smart doesn't get as much criticism, because, all right, he's not a superstar player. So even Marcus Smart's best games, like, you're like, what is that going to be? Whereas Tatum's best games, he can completely take over a game. And he actually can play a little bit of defense, because guess what? That's all about effort. And then so when you don't get it, you're like, well, what the hell? Like, you're kind of fooling me over here with what you are capable of. And I don't know, it's, players, I'm definitely not of the, oh, players were better years ago. I think that they're more talented now. But yeah, there was something about playing 82 games and playing hard for 82 games that has kind of gone away over the last several years, at least with the majority of the players.
Well, to what you're talking about is the mentality of the modern player.
Yeah.
Is really what it is. In that, you know, I hate to go back to Kyrie tainted the pool here.
Yeah.
But that was the beginning of it.
And then it did.
And then I think everybody, you know, and clearly if Jason Tatum heard that someone criticized him for not being a team player, then how many posters does the guy have of himself on the wall, or a bunch of articles cut out from newspapers, or
he's got clips on his
phone, everybody saying that he's a top 5 player in the NBA?
He definitely knows the people that have said he's top 10, and there's plenty of them. I keep wanting to put him in there, but he's just outside. He can't be in there.
See, I think you're okay with him. I think I would be on the naughty list because I've ripped him pretty good, whereas
right.
You definitely are very, and this is not a criticism, but you still have that fan love for this guy, but game by game, I see it waning in you a little bit.
No,
it's like the, oh, my God, I can't figure this guy out.
Well, it's part fan love, but it's also part realizing you need a superstar in the NBA, and so you're almost beholden. And sort of like what the caller was saying, like, you can't just bench these guys because if you lose them, you're screwed.
Right.
Like, you have to baby them. Like, there's no other way. And that's why I feel like, all right, it's even though it might be his problem, he's still, I think, part of the solution.
Yeah, and that's the hard part, right? Like, who started the whole babying these guys, and why hasn't it been able to be walked back? It feels like it's only getting worse in that league. 617-779-7937. We got a bunch of people talking Celtics, Keith. We'll ride this out and keep talking about the Celts. We do need to get to Jake DeBrus' mom at some point, though. She deserves 2 or 3 minutes of airtime today. By the way, Jack Edwards will talk Bruins with Merlone and Foyer at 4 o'clock. And tomorrow on the Greg Hill Show, Devin McCourty is in at 6:30 a.m. Make the appointment. We'll keep talking Celts with you. But first, here is, I almost said Shime. Here's Spaz, Ready to Trend.
For nearly 30 years, the home of the Boston sports fan. Now here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending now brought to you by FindMassMoney.com. We could all use a little extra cash for the holidays. Why not finally check your name at FindMassMoney.com and see if there is money waiting for you? Go to FindMassMoney.com today, Spaz.
Here's what's trending on WEI and WEI.com. Patriot safety Kyle Duggar has tested positive for COVID. Here's what needs to happen for him to play on Monday night. If he is vaccinated and he tests negative twice, 24 hours. I know, man. I should just start over. If he tests negative two times, 24 hours apart, he can play. If he is not vaccinated, he's out. He has to miss 10 games. It ain't happening.
You can't deny science.
You cannot. J.C. Jackson is the defensive player of the month. Mac Jones is the offensive rookie of the month. Major League Baseball is officially locked out. The Red Sox have bounced Hunter Renfroe to Milwaukee for Jackie Bradley Jr. and two prospects. Dick Mountain is coming back to Massachusetts. The Sox signed the pitcher Rich Hill, which is Dick Mountain, if you get the joke.
Of course.
To a one-year deal. The Celtics beat the 76ers 88-87 last night. Now, listen, I broke this story on the show, and now the New York Post picked it up. Remember my first or second trending? I mentioned that Sophie Scott went to the Celtics game with the rest of the Wags.
Who could forget?
It's now posted on the it's posted on the New York Post. It was just posted an hour ago.
Did they cite you?
They should have. They should be citing me for it. I'm the one that brought it up. Someone in New York is listening to this show, and they're using my
Post
they
listens.
Stole my friggin' story.
They aggregate everything Fourier says over there, so we know they're
yeah.
listening.
Yeah.
He was hanging out with Stidham's wife and with the tight end Henry's wife, whatever it is. I can't think of his first name. You guys
maybe
know
Mina Kimes tipped them off.
Could be. You know, she's a listener.
And the C's, they're going to take on the Jazz tomorrow night, and Utah tip-off is at 9. And the B's play tonight. They have the Predators at the Garden. No, it's not at the Garden. It's wherever they play. I think. Where is that? Where are the Predators?
Bridgestone Arena on Broadway in Nashville.
Could be anywhere.
All right. Puck drops at 8.
I made love there.
Oh, you didn't.
That's yourself.
That's trending. And you guys are lucky because Shine will be back tomorrow.
Thank God.
Amen.
Well, there we go. Well, that was really something.
It's solid
there.
Information, guy.
It is. We'll continue talking Celtics with you. And Jake DeBrus' mom ain't got it going on. That's next.
Brought to you by BioNTech.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
And Pfizer.
Andy Gresh and Rich Keefe. This is Gresh and Keefe on EEI.
Hags. Oh, this is golden. We're going to get to your Celtics calls. Don't go anywhere. Pete and Jay and Mike and Rick. But We got to get this in. This is classic stuff.
This is awesome.
I mean, this really is. Uh-huh. Gresh and Keefe here with you on the WEEI Sports Radio Network. So, at Hags with Hags, Joe Haggerty. He's covered hockey in the city for a long time. Hags tweeted out yesterday, request officially made this morning for Jake DeBrus to speak with Bruins media about his trade request. DeBrus has declined to speak with reporters, leaving the responsibility to others. Someone said, why would he speak with you guys? Is he going to get flamed either way? And Hag's response was, it's a bad look to force your teammates to answer those questions for you instead. And then at Cindy D29 on Twitter.
What's the D stand for?
It's D-E-E, so it's not just a D.
Okay.
It's a D-E-E, so it might be a middle name. However,
D's underscore nuts.
No, that's what I was thinking. More D Brusque is what I was thinking.
Well, look at her header photo and tell me who's in it.
Yeah, is that a dog with like something in its mouth? I can't even click
no,
on it.
No, her header photo is Jake DeBrusque and Jake's sister.
Oh, it is? Well, I'm reading this off my phone, so
tough burner account.
So,
you kind of missed that one a little bit.
So apparently the mom tweeted, he is not forcing anything. You guys keep asking. You ask the other players. They are not sent out to explain for him. Come on, please stop the badgering. Focus on the other guys. Jake has always been upfront and honest. It's such a shame to say these things.
I am Cam's father.
So I mean, Hags responded back, but it doesn't matter.
So he's like, I respect you as a mom coming out to your boy's defense. I would do the exact same, but when your trade request goes public, you need to address it. That's the professional thing to do. Otherwise, you absolutely are forcing your teammates and coaches to speak for you.
Damn right.
But yeah, I mean, we talked to Raycroft about it in the second hour of the show. It was a different time when he played. He's like, I'm sure family members would have come out and defended him. Now it's so easy. Whether you want to go on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook posts, anybody will interview you. And I'm not saying that's a bad thing. Like if Jake DeBrus' mom wants to come on our show, go ahead, call in.
Doors open.
Get her on there. Cindy, give us a call and tell us why it's okay for your son to tuck tail and not want to respond to his trade demand. I'm kind of with Hags on this one. Like he's saying, all right, you are leaving it to your teammates to talk about it. And she's like, well, focus on the teammates. He's the only one who demanded a trade, so I'm not going to ask anybody else about why they demanded a trade. Let's go right to the source, and yet she becomes one of a long line of family members to speak out on behalf of their son, husband, brother, uncle, whatever it might be. She's not alone.
We need to put together our respective top fives for tomorrow of family members.
Power rankings?
Oh, yeah.
There's some great ones to choose from, and even just from this year, let alone going back a couple years.
Okay.
I was going to say, Cecil's got to be high on that list. He's got a whole podcast about it.
You know what? I have a funny feeling that there are some that we forgot, and once we do a little sort of wormholing and go down the Google rabbit hole.
It's a sucker move.
Oh, yeah. The sucker move is pretty good, I gotta say.
What's your favorite parent quote so far? We'll have our rankings tomorrow.
It was a sucker move.
Sucker move or damn rights? Because I kind of like damn rights more.
I'm with you. Damn rights.
Damn rights.
Yep.
those two might be fighting for they blow Cindy DeBrusque out of the water here. These guys have been at it much longer.
I can see Tom Brady Sr. and Ennis Freedom standing there together. Damn rights.
Damn rights.
I got my rights.
Damn
I am
rights.
Now. By the way, did you see in the box score it said E. Freedom?
Yeah, well, his name's Freedom.
His name.
What do you
it
want?
It is.
Scal was having a real go at it yesterday.
Oh.
Calling him Cancer, calling him Freedom, back to Cancer, back to Freedom. And I mean, it's the first day. I don't blame him.
First day for Scal.
No. First day of the official name change.
Oh,
or first game.
It sounds like it.
First game for the name change. Well, okay. I'll leave that.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Let's get back to talking about the Celtics. Let's go to Peter in Rhode Island with Gresh and Keefe. Hi, Pete.
Hey, how you doing today?
Good.
Thanks for taking the call.
Yeah.
Hey, so I'm just saying, like, I'm kind of feeling Tatum because, like, when you look at the Phoenix Suns and Devin Booker, like, he's putting up the same amount of numbers as he is, but he's, like, cleaning up the boards. And they need a point guard. They need, like, a point guard that just is going to, like, take control of this team. It's not smart. It's not these hybrid point guards that score and get a couple assists. Because if you look at Booker's and Tatum's numbers, they're exactly the same. But Tatum is mopping up the boards. Like, he's not going to be a Greek freak type player to get you the boards and the assists and the scoring. But they need more control. Look at their lineups. It's like they're not so star-studded in Phoenix, but they're putting together with a strong foundation of a point guard. That's what they need.
Interesting.
I mean, I agree with the people that need a point guard. I mean, I wouldn't just compare stats between Booker and Tatum and say, well, they're doing the same thing. All right, Booker's team, I think, is on a 17-game winning streak. They're in first place in the Western Conference. They are a wagon right now, and I would say that, you know, some of the things that Tatum is doing, he has similar points per game as Booker, but his shooting percentage is worse. You know, he has, his assists are lower. So, yeah, I agree. But I have said, like, they do need a point guard. But funny enough, Marcus Smart, after the airing of grievances that he had on those two guys, he's been passing a lot more, and his assist numbers are up. So, I don't know. Maybe there's at least a positive development in that. He's still not your prototypical point guard. But like the caller said, they need like a pass-first point guard. Yeah, there's less and less of those guys in the league as it is. A lot of them are the Kemba Kyrie mold.
Yeah, and when I start hearing Devin Booker talking about how great his individual stats are and that he's been to X amount of conference finals in X amount of years, and that's pretty good when that team broke through last year, then I might start to think that they're a little more comparable. But it seems like Devin Booker's not out there glossing himself and reading articles and trying to make the case that he isn't a selfish player. Jay in Providence with Gresh and Keefe. Hi, Jay.
Hey, guys. Yeah, I listen often. The one thing that gets me every time it ticks me off is when Keith, his point for keeping Jason Tatum usually goes to, well, you can't win without guys like Tatum. And I just want to inform him that this team is not going to win with Tatum. This team, it doesn't matter if it needs superstars. Tatum's not the guy that's going to lead them there. I got to admit it to you, Keith. It's not.
I know, I'm still banging my head against that, though. But don't you? What if they got another superstar to play with them, Jay? Because if you get rid of him, just my point is, if you get rid of Jason Tatum and you bring in a whole bunch of picks or a whole bunch of B-plus players, I think you're even further away from winning.
I don't think that's personally true, because you got hardworking teams out here like the Knicks. I mean, they're not really working hard. There's teams out here that are working hard that have less talent than us. Wait a minute.
Where are the Knicks going to go? They're going to lose to Trae Young in the first round again, or not even make it.
I mean, Trae Young, that's another team. Less talent, better record. Wait a minute.
Same record.
Let's just go to a team that's in the tank and has a lot of talent. We got Toronto. They got Van Vliet. What? They got Scottie
Wait,
Barnes.
Wait, are you saying you want to beat Toronto? Toronto stinks.
Jay,
listen, if you want to say, Keith, you got to give up on Tatum, that might be one thing. But when you say you got teams, quote, out here working hard, and you say that you cite the Knicks and the Raptors, I don't want to be the Knicks or the Raptors. The Celtics, even with some of their issues, are somebody you would much rather be than those two franchises.
I hope we're saying that at the end of the year. Because last year we were looking at the Knicks and going,
they're there.
How are they doing it? But they don't have.
They have to play their guys into the ground in the regular season, and then they get to the playoffs, and then Thibodeau's like, oh, how come you guys are all gassed out? And you're like, oh, yeah, that's right. And Toronto stinks.
Toronto's a bad example.
They only won it because they had Kawhi Leonard a couple of years ago, and Kyle Lowry was closer to his prime. And Pascal Siakam played well. I don't even know if he's ever going to be that good again. But that was all Kawhi Leonard. It's not Fred Van Fleet.
Let's go to Mike in Framingham talking about Tatum being a superstar. Hello, Mike.
Hey, thanks for taking my call.
Can I have a burger?
My contention is that Jason Tatum is not a superstar. And if you could find somebody who's not happy with their team that is quote-unquote equivalent to Tatum, I would trade him tomorrow morning.
For who? Who are you talking about?
I'd rather have Jalen Brown for consistency.
He's consistently not playing.
Well, you know, it's interesting that Mike, no, and Mike, thanks, because we got to run here. But, you know, there at some point, we've always talked about it's the Jays and building it around both.
Mm-hmm.
At what point do you look at it and say, well, like Atlanta or Miami, maybe it's one. And then build from there.
Yeah, because I feel like in this league, though, you end up when you have one, you want two, and when you have two, you want three when it comes to stud players. Because
it's something the Celtics have not been able to figure out, because we're now in iteration three of trying to figure out a big three, and the first two failed miserably. Wow, that was a limerick.
That was really good. You should write that down so you can bring that back again.
Shime will put that in the open tomorrow after he's done barfing all over himself. Hopefully Shimey's feeling okay.
Same. I hope he's all right.
Yeah, he's not sharding or anything like that.
He's probably streaming video games on Twitch right now.
Not on the golf course probably all day. Yeah. You kidding me?
Nah, it's way too gross today. It's way too gross.
I'm calling BS on this.
I don't know. Are you calling out Shime?
He went to jury duty and was done at 8:30 in the morning, and instead of coming to work, went to the golf course. So.
Well, he was off that day.
That's true.
He could have just come in.
You're not going to double book the second producer role.
How many times have I produced the show alone, Rich?
At least that one time, I guess.
I give John credit in that he had to go handle something during the show yesterday and did come back.
He came back. That's true. It's dedication.
It's because I had to write.
Oh, God.
Do it for you guys. I timed it perfectly.
You had to write that article that's in our queue, Gresh, that we got to read tonight.
Well, that is true. By the way, John is comparing the D of 2019 to the D of 2021 with the New England Patriots.
Ah.
That's up right now at WEEI.com. We're gonna push the Mac Josh discussion to tomorrow. That and the all-time parents list of people who've come to the defense of their kids. Quickly, Keith, because I know we'll decide this now. Are we throwing WAGs in there too? Or
I think
just
so.
Parents?
Oh, we could do either one. Let's put our heads together on that, because there's either way it's going to be a good list.
Eddie Gresh and Rich Keith. This is Gresh and Keith.
Yeah, it's a no for me.
On EEI.
Time for You Got Something. Sponsored by Unified Office. If you run restaurants, don't lose football takeout orders or reservations due to customers getting busy signals or being stuck on hold. Get the solution at unifiedoffice.com. Rich Keefe, I'm ceding my time to the junior senator from somewhere in this city, John Anderson. John.
Bye. Well, yesterday, Gresh spent his entire day, as he will spend the rest of this afternoon, calling the high school championships in Massachusetts.
Super Bowls! Super Bowls!
Believe it or not, we have received some feedback to our show account.
Awesome.
And our station
for
Gresh's performance, which was not broadcast on this station. So first off, I X'd out of one. Okay,
great.
This is from Twitter, from Tommy McSweeney. Hey, Andy, hurdling is a new rule that came in with the Federation rules, rule changes a few years ago, but not all refs call it, because Gresh was upset because a quarterback of one of the teams got a 15-yard penalty for hurdling, but according to Tommy McSweeney, there are some conscientious objectors within high school officials community who do not call it.
Some keep the flag in the pocket, but I understand you were upset with the hurdling call last night.
Lost my mind.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Over it, and people, you know, I got those on Twitter who were like, it's under the NSFA rules or NFSW rules.
Can't jump a guy?
And if you don't know the rules, keep honest to God. If you see this on Saturday, first of all, I pulled a nutty end just for you. I mixed in LeBron James and ripped him in the middle of this as well.
Oh, very nice.
Because this kid who was like 100 and, I don't know, 40 pounds was just diving at the legs of this quarterback who was running. And like, let's not protect the knees, right? But this guy can't jump over him, right? So I cut a big promo, mixed in Rob Gronkowski, talked about LeBron flopping. Like, I lost breath. I had to, like, stop. Brendan Glasheen almost wet himself laughing because I pulled a complete nutty on this. And, of course, the Twitter came out, and I said, Swampskit.
Swampskit.
Speaking of that, Gresh, did get a complaint regarding Swampskit. This came in through, apparently we have a complaint line here that gets sent directly to Ken Laird's email.
We
have a complaint line?
I didn't know about this, but every once in a while I hear about it, that we have this.
Just goes right to Ken?
This got sent to Ken. Ken forwarded to me. This is from, I would call him a listener, but he definitely isn't based on the content of this email.
All right.
This is from Rich. Question. So this isn't really a question. I wanted to provide feedback on the lack of objectivity during the broadcast of the Division 5 Super Bowl game tonight with Swampskit versus North Reading. Once again, was not broadcast on this station.
No, it was not.
Not to take anything away from Swampskit, which was by far the better team tonight, by far. But I felt that, and I'm going to read this verbatim, but I felt that the broadcasting, especially Crash, was totally biased and very disappointing. Listening to them go on and on about Swampskit was an absolute disgrace. These high school kids were playing in the biggest game of their lives. As a former fan of WEI, I can tell you that I will never listen to
this
station
again. Come on, we need you back!
That's how disgusted I was listening
to
them
tonight. Thanks a lot, Crush. Now we're never getting that guy back.
Keith, it is amazing. We really could, like, wait till this airs on Saturday. I heard it. This was only, like, on Patriots.com and CBS, digital over Channel 4.
Yeah.
It's going to be on Channel 38 from noon to midnight on Saturday. I'm telling you, you cannot make these people happy. You're either biased, you're saying their team wrong. I got a phonetic, son of a bitch. I got one of these, right?
Yeah,
so
I finally got, for
the Twitch stream,
that's the rosters.
Rosters, right?
Without
you know
to say
what
the
some
names.
Of them come with?
No.
Phonetic pronunciations.
Love it.
Do you know what one person from one of the schools who was there from public access or whatever?
No.
They came in and they were like, oh, you're saying the name wrong. I'm like, dude,
it's
this is
right
what
here.
It tells us to do. And
it's
he goes,
right here.
Well, that's wrong. I'm from the city. And blah, blah, blah. I'm like, get out.
It's amazing to think Gresh, who is from Pennsylvania and then moved to Rhode Island, all of a sudden, who's calling 6 Super Bowl games, is rooting for one of the teams. Like, as we know, Gresh loves North Reading. Gresh has such a soft spot in his heart
Danielle left and Gresh came in. He still loves Swampskit,
right,
though.
For Danielle, right, that's what I was rooting for. I can't imagine the rooting interest that Gresh has.
God.
That's how Joe Buck feels. Gresh. Everybody's like,
Joe
Buck hates my team.
Yeah.
That's you're dealing with that now.
Right, well, if I made $10 million a year, I could deal with it much better.
Yeah. I got nothing.
Rich and Spaz, flip a coin.
The only thing I got is that the only two Patriots who weren't at practice today were J.J. Taylor and Kyle Duggar. So that's obviously a good sign, because anytime one of these, you know, you get a positive test, you just wonder, you're like, all right, who are they hanging around with, and is anybody else going to have to miss practice? But as of today, here, Thursday afternoon, just those two guys appear to be on that list.
All right, there we go. And, we'll have more to get into tomorrow. We will get into the all-time parents list. Parents and wags, probably.
Sure.
In terms of defending their significant others or their children. We're going to make MLB better. Hey, they're in a lockout. Why not throw a bunch of stuff their way? We will get to the weekend review as well. Damian Harris on a Patriots Friday scheduled to join us. We will also preview Week 13 in the NFL. All the gambling, everything that you expect from Gresh and Keefe on a Friday. Spaz, thanks for jumping in. I want to thank the folks of the Patriots for taking care of me down here. John Anderson produced it. If something went wrong, blame him. Keith and I will see you tomorrow at 10 a.m. Merlone and Foyer are next.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your
your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.